Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to Mount Olympus. I am Hercules Invictus, and today on Living Mythology, I'm proud to bring you Disclosure Network with Nick Curto. Greetings and welcome, Nick. How are you on this warm day?
Boy, I'm fine, but boy, you're saying the truth here. Boy, is it hot. It is probably one of the hottest summers I've ever experienced in ever, especially in Manhattan. It is really brutal. 90 degrees. It's gone to, I think, 101 at one point. The subways, if you don't want to travel on the subway, that's a good idea because they are piping hot until you get into the subway cars themselves. So we're dealing with a lot of heat here.
Yeah, yes, we are. But now we have an awesome show before us, and I'm looking forward to listening to you and your guests discuss matters arcane.
Excellent. Okay, well, here we go then. The program again is Nick Curto Presents the Disclosure Network, and I'm Nick Curto, co-founder and director of Disclosure Network New York, and your host for this live podcast. DNNY is a grassroots organization now celebrating our 21st year of providing two meetings a month throughout the year in Manhattan. We focus on cutting-edge UFO, ET, and paranormal issues, as well as many other important and related subjects from a wide variety of areas and sources as we go very deep into these exciting and sometimes very misunderstood subjects that the mainstream press will never talk about or ever discuss. Our members do intense investigative research into these various cutting-edge topics and share that information with the group at our meetings and with our internet followers on YouTube. Now, we are currently doing only Zoom meetings twice a month until COVID-19 or whatever that is completely gone from the venue that we are hold our meetings at, which is in the West Village of New York City. And by the way, the good news is that we're going to do face-to-face meetings starting in October. So we're all very much looking forward to that. Now, our members are literally worldwide, and they connect with us by sending us information and research that they come across, and then we share that with our entire group. Now, if you'd like to have more information about becoming a member of DNNY, you can do that by emailing me, and I'm going to give you my email address right now, which is nicknyny1, and that's the numeral one, not O-N-E, but the numeral one, at gmail.com. I'm going to repeat it, nicknyny1@gmail.com. Our motto right from day one is, quote, connecting the dots to seek truth, unquote. And we have our members contributing to our DNNY News Blast email service, focusing on all the topics that we want to talk about, and that comes across just about every single day. And a special shout out to all of the DNNY members who contribute to that incredible list of news articles that go on all through the year. Okay, now here we go. My featured guest for tonight's program is an active and very key member of DNNY, and her name is Adrienne Thurben. Hi, Adrienne.
Hi, how you doing, Nick?
Great, great. Did I get your last name? Did I say it correctly? If I didn't, correct me.
Tobin.
Oh, Tobin. Okay. Thank you very much. Okay. I've been, as you know, very much looking forward to having you on the program this evening. And you have quite a story to tell for sure. And 1 hour certainly is not going to be enough to contain what you are about to talk about. And I'd like to plan with you somewhere in the fall to do a follow-up. Now,
oh, that would be great.
Yeah, we need to do that, and I look forward to that also. Now, Adi has lived in Connecticut since birth and currently resides in the northwest corner of the state. She has a passion for seeking answers to her unexplained and mysterious events that literally go on all the time. She continues to experience her own to this very day, and she couples her spirit medium and psychic abilities with fearlessness to help herself and others, and that's important, along life's journey. By sharing her experiences, she hopes to make a difference by letting others know that they are not alone, for sure, and humanity has not been abandoned. Help is here, and more help is on the way, and I really love that about you. So let's start right off the interview. I know you've got a lot going on, so how would you like to start?
Well, I thought maybe I'd backtrack just 1 year. My experiences start from childhood on, and it's just, like you said, not enough time. So I'm going to keep it current, and I'm going to do a little mix between some UFO stuff and spirit stuff, and in the end, I will concentrate just on alien beings, and that has a lot to do with upgrades and downloads and ascension and what's happening currently. So, yeah, back in 2021, it was March 1st, I had a large orb followed by a quasar show up in my backyard. Now, this was 2 o'clock in the morning. So the scene is, I was standing at the open window on my second floor giving thanks and saying prayers, and I always acknowledge the space brothers and sisters, too. And I remember waving good night to all. It's just a routine. And then I crawled into bed, and I got comfortable for maybe about a minute or two. And then my dog, Maya, who was laying at the foot of the bed, she picked her head up and alerted to the window, and I had to sit up to look through, and there were chiffon curtains there, but I could see this orb about 50 feet away and maybe about 15 feet off the ground, and it was between a trio of trees, a big hardwood trees in my backyard, and it's all forest all behind my yard, too. There's nothing there for a mile to a reservoir. So this first orb, as I sat up, I saw it, and then it disappeared. So, of course, I got out of bed, and I threw the curtains back. And the orb showed up again. I'm assuming it was the same one. It's about as big as a volleyball, bright white. And then it went away. It just imploded on itself. And I waited what seemed like an eternity. It was probably 10 seconds. And I said, oh, come on, do it again. And this quasar-shaped light showed up. That's where it was about 4 feet long and maybe 3 feet high. So it was a star pattern. And it was beautiful, bright white, and then it just imploded on itself. And I stood there, and I waited, and nothing else happened. I went to get my field glasses that I use for bird watching, and I was scanning the skies, but that was it. But the weird thing is I could have sworn it was probably a little after 2 o'clock in the morning when I got up to sit up. And then when I got back down into bed, it was after 3 a.m., like an hour went by, and I don't think an hour went by according to my brain. I could have looked at the clock wrong, but I also might have had missing time. I'm not sure, but what was also strange, the next day, a low-flying helicopter was heading my way from the southwest, so it was coming right towards my house from the backyard. And I never heard anything like this because the vibration and the sound of it could be felt and heard at least a minute before it came into view. And this sound and vibration increased with every second, even before I saw it, my sliding door I was standing at and the cement floor under my feet, it was shaking like a miniature earthquake. And I don't have a basement. My first floor slab is above solid rock. So by the time it came into view over the tree line, which was probably a few hundred yards away, I thought my windows were going to break and my foundation was going to crack. That's how intense this was. And whoever was cruising diagonally over my roof, yeah, they had to have known the effect they were causing. So I was literally waiting for all the forest animals to come charging out of the woods like Jumanji. So I kind of took it personally. I don't know if that was related to the fact that I saw something earlier that morning. Typically, when I see helicopters, it's related. And I don't have any more to add to that. But now, if we go a few more months in advance, Do you remember when people, this was in June, like the first week of June, I started seeing all these videos that people were posting where they were sticking metal objects to their body? These were people
who yes, absolutely.
Took the
that
jab.
That was wild.
Right?
That was going on, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, perhaps, you know, getting that injection had something to do with it, but I'm positive that is not the only cause, because it's been 27 years since I've had a flu shot or anything like it, because that made me sicker than I've ever been, so I stay far away from needles. I decided to try and stick metal objects to myself, too, anyway. And I grabbed a lightweight metal fork, like the kind you'd have in a cafeteria, the cheaper ones, and I tried to stick it to my forehead, and I couldn't get it to stay, but I could feel a pulling sensation. Then I tried to stick it to my neck area, and it stayed. There was definitely an increase in the magnetic pull where my thyroid and lymph glands would be. And then I tried other objects like nails and change and paper clips. I could stick all that to my forehead and neck area. And
I remember that you had posted a photograph of that happening, and I remember that photograph very well. And there were several metal objects sticking to you in various places of your face and your body. It was unbelievable.
Yeah, it wasn't due to, like, what do you call it, tensile or tension, because a nail, you know, with a head on it is not going to, it would fall off. So, you know, I entertained myself with this new hobby for a few days.
Wow.
That was kind of weird. But then I decided to try and figure out a way to make it stop. And since it seemed concentrated near my glandular system, I had the idea to try detoxing with zeolite and then a special blend of detox tea I make myself. It has 5 dried herbs and roots in there. And so I took that, and then the next morning, nothing stuck to me anymore.
Oh, that's interesting.
Isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. So, I mean, I that's unexplainable. So now, still, let's jump to 2022 now.
Okay.
I've noticed, and I don't know if anyone else listening has, a recent increase in spirit activity and people's ability to see them. Let me tell you about the most recent one first. This was really strange. This happened a few days ago on Thursday. I went to a little metaphysical shop in the next town over in Winsted, and I'm friends with the owner of the shop, which is located to the left of her house. She has an older home, and most of the homes around there are pretty old. And her home is haunted. But however, for me, other than seeing a Native American spirit a few times, once behind her home and then once near a waterfall behind her home, I have never experienced anything there. And by the way, that waterfall in the surrounding area behind her home is a known Native American sacred ceremonial ground.
Interesting.
So when I visit, yeah, it's on an old map too. And across the way, there's a swamp across the old Route 8 there, and it's Indian burial grounds there. So I always like to go to the waterfall with my dog just to enjoy the view and the peace, and I let Maya poke around there. But to get there, now this is what got weird. You have to open an old wooden gate with a vertical latch, and it's off-center, so it takes 2 hands to open or latch it. So we weren't staying long. It was 94 degrees out, and there was no wind, so I just left the gate open. It naturally hangs about 1 foot open. And when it came time to leave, the gate was latched. I have no idea how that happened. I mean, it didn't. There was no wind, and even if there was wind, it wouldn't happen. So, like I said, there's no way or no explanation other than two-handed manipulation to get this to latch like that. So I texted the owner when I got home, and I asked her, have you ever had that happen to you? And she said, nope. And she laughed.
Really?
And she said, yeah, there was a lot of activity lately, and she didn't specify. But I mentioned that I suspected it might have been her husband who had passed away that the year before. She said it would be just like him to do that. But that's actual spirit manipulation of an object, which is pretty cool. You know, And then
that's quite a story, just that alone, and that, you know, that these things do happen and they are very real and people do experience this. So you're doing and you're experiencing things here that literally cannot be easily explained, for sure.
Yeah, and there seems to be a lot of it just in the past few months, because I do help people. So people will call me, and I've had a lot of calls in the past few months to do clearings and whatnot of homes. So, all right, here's another incident. In March, my friend and her dad went house hunting, and they were checking out a real old, huge home in New Hartford, Connecticut. And knowing I can remote view, she asked me to let her know if I sensed anything in the house. So I spent a little time doing that, and I texted her my vision of an old woman in the kitchen removing bread from the fire in the oven. And she was dressed colonial style with a long dress and an apron and a bonnet, you know. So she didn't say anything to her dad at the time about what I saw. But when she and her dad got home, or were on their way home, when she got home, she texted me back, and because she was freaked out, she said on the way home, her dad insisted on stopping at the store to get ingredients to make bread, you know, flour, yeast, et cetera. I asked her,
right,
has your dad ever baked bread before? She said no, and she sent me a picture right after. It was her dad and her little brother at the center island counter kneading bread. I wonder if that spirit influenced them. Yeah, she decided not to get that house.
Yeah. Wow.
She did purchase another home, though, in a different town, and it was built in the 1940s. And she called me up. She goes, I feel heaviness in the basement. It was one of those stone foundations. And she said her dog won't go down there either. I said, oh, boy. I said, okay.
Oh, that's interesting. Wow.
Yeah, and the dogs are a great indicator. Animals are, any intelligent animal.
Oh, absolutely.
Cats,
true.
Dogs,
yes.
Horses, sure. So it was July 7th, and I performed a ceremonious cleansing of the basement. I felt sadness down there, you know, but it went away. I spent some time doing a pretty good ritual, and her dog went down the stairs for the first time. So I guess the cleansing worked. And for good measure, I just went through the rest of the house, even though I didn't feel anything on the first or second floors. It felt real good. And even her mom said it felt warm and cozy because she had come by to hang curtains, I think, in August 1st or something. But shortly after that, there, I am assuming, were some reoccurring karmic family problems with extended family. And it did like a trickle-down effect. So people were arguing. And her boyfriend and her were arguing. And no sooner did he leave to go get his hair cut that she saw a spirit to her left. She was at her sink washing dishes. So she looked to the left for some reason, and it looked like water in a distorted human shape. And she had never seen anything like it before. She'd never seen spirits before, so this is flipping her out. She's scared to death of anything since childhood, of anything to do with ghosts. And then, to top it off, her infant's little rocking swing started to move on its own. So now she's completely terrified. Yeah, but she was brave enough to go to the back door, open it, and tell it to leave, and that Jesus will take it to where it needs to go. And then she went back to doing dishes, and no sooner did she do that when something tugged firmly on the bow tied behind her dress. So she clenched her teeth, went to the front door, and told it to leave in the same way. And then she frantically texted me to remote view. So I did. And actually, these were good spirits. So I like that. Her ancestors, who were not happy with the arguing going on, and I confirmed their identities with her mom because I had to call up her mom. There was my girlfriend's great-grandmother, which would have been her mother's mother, and then there was the grandfather, her mother's father. And the great-grandmother in spirit told me to tell her great-granddaughter, stop arguing. And then she also showed me a vision of somebody standing in river water up to their ankles. And I didn't know what that meant. And so I called her mom and said, does that mean anything to you? And while her mom was thinking, the spirit showed me a basin of water. So I kind of interrupted her thinking, and I said, does standing in a basin of water mean anything to you? And she said, oh, my God, yes. She said when her grandmother was watching the children and the older boy cousins were misbehaving, she would make them go stand in a basin of water.
Whoa, so, really? Oh, that's wild. That is crazy. Wow.
Isn't it? But you know what's cool? That not only distracted the bad behavior that the cousins were displaying, but water is very grounding and very cleansing. So that's one smart old granny.
I guess so. Wow,
yeah.
Good for her.
Yep. All right. Now I get time to switch.
Hey, Drew, I got a quick question before we go on, and that is, obviously, you are really in tune here with paranormal, amazing phenomenon. I wanted to ask you, any of your parents or grandparents or any other relatives, do they have this gift?
I'm pretty sure my mother did, but it was kept quiet. We were raised strict Greek Orthodox, and they didn't believe in reincarnation. Seeing spirits was voodoo, according to my father. So I really had to keep it hush-hush. But there was one incident where we were watching a TV show, my mom and I, where it was a mother witch and a daughter witch. It was modern, but the mother looked at the daughter and said, where do you think you got it from? And my mother turned to me and looked and said, and where do you think you got it from? And I went, oh.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Okay,
so
well, there's the answer to that question. Wow.
Yeah, simple, but I figured it out pretty quick what she meant.
Yep. Wow.
So still year 2022 now. A lot of increase in alien activity and UFOs and stuff. And I've had some very not typical encounters. I've had the other ones where I've seen, you know, insectoid or little short beings or grays. You know, everyone's had those experiences. But on this is more of a UFO. On May 17th, I saw a glowing, undulating ruby red ball of light that was gliding through the night sky above the distant tree line, and it was a pretty good size considering how far away it was, and it was glowing brighter and then dimming and then glowing brighter and then dimming, almost like a breathing pattern. It was very strange. So my gut told me that was not a man-made craft. In another tip-off, here we go. The next afternoon, two black helicopters flew by, one over my house and the other along the tree line where that red, ruby red orb was. So they might detect and map out magnetic or radiation signatures because it was just too coincidental. It seems when I see something, they're the helicopters.
And, you know, what you're saying here, I've heard other members of Disclosure Network New York say something very much like that, that they were involved in looking for UFOs in the sky, or they were concentrating on something about contact, and helicopters somehow located them. That's just such an interesting thing. I mean, realizing that people are in real helicopters and they're flying right towards them. How in the world do they know what's going on, and how can they pinpoint that? I mean, that is just another program, but I mean, that's quite an interesting subject.
Wow, my jaw's dropped. What are they, the thought police?
Exactly. What's up with that? And that happens. You'd be surprised how many times people have said that that did happen to them.
Yep, I believe it now. Yeah, sure. All right. Now, I had my dreams the past few months have been really, well, I'm not going to call them, but yeah, I'll call them bizarre because they're
okay.
It's almost like learning, teaching, and experiencing, and it has nothing to do with humans. So this one I made note of on June 1st, and I'll get into depth, but I clearly remember being told by another human-like, very tall being that, and I quote, the new Earth will be considerably larger than this one. Okay, and then I woke up. But I remember more of the story. Before his last sentence, or his only sentence, I should say, I do sort of remember what he looked like. So to the best of my recollection, he was about 7 feet tall, no hair, no ears, pretty much a human-shaped face. In the eyes, I think they were all one dark color. I'm not sure because the lids were halfway closed. But the eyes were, you know, not slanted in any way like an alien. Very horizontal and very wide. It almost looked like eyeliner on it. It was kind of strange. And his facial skin and long-fingered hands were all chalk white with a hint of blue to it. And I think he had three long fingers and one really long, skinny thumb. And he was wearing a close-fitting outfit. The colors were blues in a silver color. The silver part was shoulder to shoulder and came down to a V at the hip line. He didn't really have hips. He was pretty skinny. But then he had over that some kind of lengthy, loose-fitting, sleeveless smock. It was all one color and hanging open over this uniform. It was lighter colored than anything else he was wearing. And I vaguely remember the background. And it was ship-like, like saucer. And there were long control panels that set at a slight angle all along the perimeter. And above that, there was a long, barely curved window. So on this slanted counter dash, whatever, it looked like controls. I don't know. It just looked kind of busy. It was slightly slanted forward. But it went the whole length of the windows that I can remember in the short amount of time I was conscious, you know, and had some memory. I don't remember seeing a break in the dash. It was pretty busy looking, I guess. But there were several window sections I could see. But there was no place to sit at the controls there. And all this was about 20 feet behind the being, and he was about 6 feet away from me. So if I took the time to calculate the curvature of this vehicle's perimeter just by looking at the windows, I could probably figure it out. It's big, like huge, because there was barely any curvature. And I did this once before when I was in a much smaller ship underground. Anyway, I do recall using several handheld notepads. One was like a square tablet. Then the other was similar to an oversized smartphone with no buttons on it or anything. The screen was framed with a gray rubber-like material. And I was looking at this right before he spoke to me. And at that moment, the screen went from light to off mode, so I have no idea what was on it. That's so not fair. Anyway, however, I know, really? Can I remember these things? However, before that, I was outside the ship exploring rugged terrain. So I'm wondering if that was the new Earth. I've heard about the new Earth. I have heard nothing but theories. So this is all just relaying my, I'll call it a dream. There was moving water and there was standing water. There was prickly shrubs and vines and other low growth and rocks and trees too, but nothing really tall. I remember water coming out of rocks too, like a little cavern. And there was no sun or clouds, but the sky was semi-bright, but not blue. It was more gray, kind of blah. And I didn't see any animals anywhere. And there was a ton of stuff going on about this new Earth, but it was all too vague for me now to say much more.
Did you see any vegetation of any kind, any green or growing flowers or trees, or was there any vegetation? Could you remember that?
Yeah, there's shrubs, and I remember a lot of prickly stuff and viney-type stuff. It was, I didn't feel like I was physically there, because I don't remember feeling like I had a body, although when I was exploring, I felt the need to maneuver and balance and make choices as to what direction I should go. I felt safe. I felt younger and in better shape. But as far as trees, they were short. Yes, there were trees. No flowers. Everything was just pretty green and vines and, you know, stems. Real scrappy looking, actually.
Okay. Interesting.
Kind of,
yeah. Very interesting.
Not very.
Any structures of any kind? Any structures? Any buildings or structures of any kind that were made? Did you see anything like that?
Not that I recall, because I had woken up twice before saying, I'll remember what I dreamed. And then The third time I woke up with this being and remembering what I had done just before being on the ship. So I missed a lot. I should keep a pen and paper by my bed. You know, I tried that once, and I wrote all this stuff down.
Go ahead. Yeah.
Yeah, I wrote all this stuff down.
It does work if you do it immediately, just when you wake up. Immediately do all the notes you can possibly think of. That really makes a difference.
Yeah, so that's what I had done a while back. And I thought, oh, this is genius. This is amazing. And when I woke up in the morning and read it, it didn't make any sense at all. It was ridiculous.
Well, so, you know, what I'd like to do, though, you have a wonderful remembrance of the being and what he was wearing and so forth. I know a very, very good artist. I would like to ask you for a favor. I'd like you to write down everything you can think of about that being, and I'd like to give it to my friend, an artist, and see if he can depict it, and then you can take a look and make corrections. Would you be willing to do that?
Yeah, I could. As a matter of fact, I had gone through tons of what I could find online. I couldn't find anything exactly like this being, but I found a face that was pretty close to this being, but the eyes were wrong. And then I found another one of the hand. Some guy did a sculpture of a three-fingered hand with a long thumb, and that was it. So, yeah, I could actually give a pretty good example just by picture and the rest verbally.
I would love to do that with you and with the artist. So let's go with that in the next weeks and see what we can come up with. I think that'd be well worth the effort. So thank you for volunteering, and you and I will get together and figure this all out. But thank you, and I look forward to that little project.
Oh, I thank you. That's a great offer. I'll take you up on it. No joke.
Okay.
All right. So now I'm moving ahead to June 28th. And I had the most bizarre thing happen. Mind you, it's not earth-shattering or anything, but this is the first for me. I have never been paralyzed before in my own home. Like, in a way, I asked for it. I guess, let me explain. I have a medical problem. I have an overactive immune system. So I was battling another bout, and I'm still going through round three again, of hand swelling, peeling skin, splitting, itching, and other miserable crap. And I decided at about 10 p.m. to try again to pray and use my healing crystal. This is my most powerful crystal, and something always happens when I use it. So I laid myself down on the couch in the living room, and the only light on was a corner floor light behind my wood stove, and it was colored blue at 20% illumination. So it was nice and, you know, chill in there. And I covered myself with a snuggly blanket, and I laid on my left side, and I was taking the crystal, and I was tracing some of the problem areas of damaged skin with the crystal as I was instructing it to, you know, what I needed, what kind of healing I needed to heal my T cells, immune system, endocrine, lymph nodes, anything that might have to do with my problem. And then I held the crystal to warm it up before I worked with it over the damaged areas, you know, between my hands, kind of like in a class praying, you know, stance. And I started to say, Abba, Father, 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 I need healing. Please, please, I beg you, Father, I need healing. And I described what I needed. And I said, Father, please, I beg you, because I was desperate. I've been suffering. And I want to see you, my real Father. Now, I have no idea why I included that last sentence. I want to see you, my real Father. That wasn't part of the plan. My hair is standing up right now. I lost consciousness at that point. And the next thing I know, I was walking down a ramp that was lit with a reddish-orange light to the left. And it felt like I was going down, like into a basement almost. And I noticed a wall to the left as I moved down this ramp. And ahead of me was what seemed to be a little boy, maybe 10 or so feet ahead of me. And he had light-colored, bushy, wavy hair. He paused twice, and each time I told him, keep moving forward, don't be afraid. And he wasn't very distinguishable, even as he turned to look at me. But then he wouldn't go any further. And now, suddenly, I'm conscious, but paralyzed, and in the same position on my couch. All of a sudden, but I felt like I was floating and I was paralyzed. I couldn't see either. I said in my mind, cut the crap. I didn't say use the word crap either. I want to see. And I rebelled in this fetal position with my eyes shut, and I began to float off the couch like an old helium balloon. And I felt like I made it to the floor, but I was moved right back up to the couch. So whatever was in the room wouldn't let me open my eyes, but it must have taken me by my right arm and put me back up on the couch. And I fought this paralyzation, and I finally was able to see, but my eyelashes were in the way. I could barely open my eyes, and everything was real blurry, and it was dark. All I had was that little blue light on. So between what I could see from those slits I was looking through, I saw on the other side of the coffee table two blurry, shadowy, bowed legs. And I couldn't lift or turn my head, and I tried again to open my eyes, but whatever it was, it wouldn't let me. And I continued to fight this control, and finally release came. And I was unparalyzed and immediately aware of my heart pounding. I had not experienced my heart beating that hard and fast since my house was on fire in 2006. I was not afraid or shaking because I'm fearless, but I was breathing heavy. It's like, you know, a fight or flight type of thing, and I didn't have anything to attribute to it because I had no memory. But my right arm from the elbow to my upper bicep ached. I noticed that. So with both eyes open, I was just laying there staring, trying to discern what the heck just happened. And my dog was looking in that direction too, where I saw these two standing blurry bowed legs. After about 10 minutes, I told Alexa, I won't say the name because it'll turn everybody's on, to turn up the light to 100%, and then the opposite light, which was on like an amber color, to 100%. And I laid there a few more minutes until my heart calmed down. And I was really confused because my 3D body was not scared, but more like my spirit experienced something, or my etheric body, who knows. So since I asked for healing, I decided to thank whomever for the experience, and I looked at the clock. It was a little past 10:30, so I wasn't tired when this all started, and my intention was not to sleep. So as far as I can tell, this alternate reality occurred within a 10 or 15-minute time frame. It wasn't that long, and I tried to think logically, so I could assume what happened is that I met my creator or someone who had a hand in my genetics, one of the cedar races, because I did say, you know, I want to see my real father. So this experience left me with my head feeling pressurized in a super high-pitched tone triangulating from my ears to the center of my head that finally eased up and normalized after a few days. But now this is really wild. Coincidentally, on June 30th, I think that would have been a couple of days later, I stumbled across a video that included an illustration of an alien labeled EBE type 1, which was said to have slight but noticeably bowed legs. It was also stated that they are one of the cedar races, and in addition, they are affiliated with the Greys, the ones with the teardrop eyes where the rounded part would be near the nose bridge and then it goes back like a wraparound. The same ones I saw when I was in some underground facility in a ship ready to leave. So, and even stranger, if it can get stranger, I was born 3 months early and I was in an incubator and my legs were slightly bowed. And they thought I might need braces to straighten them out. But they evened them out. They evened out enough themselves. So I'm wondering, was I visited by an EBE type 1? I'm really grasping at straws. But that's all I have as far as an explanation as to whom I may have met. Far-fetched.
Yeah, there's a logic to that, though. There is a logic running through that. And who knows? When you said father, I was wondering who that was referring to when you said that immediately, because some people say father and they're talking about God, or they're talking about the universal father, whatever. So when you said that, I thought that was interesting.
Well, I guess people would consider their father God the creator, but there's a lot of creators. There's a lot of DNA in us, and there's different beings. We know they walk among us. I think we're the aliens.
Well, that's I've heard that recently too, and you can't discount any of that. You have to be open to a lot of different possibilities when you're searching for the truth. Because it would be wrong to put something off the table. You have to put all the elements on the table and start connecting the dots. And sometimes they really do connect, as you're telling us.
Yeah, well, you know, that's what disclosure is about. Apparently it's up to us, because at this point, just thinking that UFOs exist, that makes me yawn. I'd like to know who's in them and a little bit more history.
Yep.
That's the real disclosure. But... you know, I'll just go with the flow and figure out what
there
I can on my
own. There seems to be an awful lot going on, not only what you're describing, of course, but other people have also been chiming in and telling me that there seems to be an awful lot of incidents of paranormal experiences going on more than ever before.
Yeah,
and
have you heard of the
download? It seems to me as though there's a trend.
Have you heard of people saying they're getting downloaded or upgraded or something like that?
Oh, absolutely, yes.
Because I had this other weird thing happen now. This was July 5th. It was about 1 o'clock in the morning, and I had to consult somebody about this because this was just too weird. I think I had some kind of download or extraction. I had relentless thoughts. They were thrashing through my head and my mind's eye. It could have been for as long as an hour. I was processing all this information of every single thing in every conceivable way. It was literally maddening. I was holding on to my head. And occasionally an incident that happened years ago would pop into my head and it would pause on that, something I have never thought of since it occurred. And that got analyzed too. It was like my brain was a 50-mile-an-hour Rolodex. It was really strange.
Okay.
And this was accompanied by all these electrical sounding, fuzzy, staticky, zapping sounds, jolting my head. And then it all ended with an instantaneous collage of postage stamp-sized still pictures of memories. They were like thrust forth into my third eye area. It was all, and there were shapes and squares and octagons. It was really bizarre. And that was also accompanied by these electrical zapping sounds. It was like something out of the Twilight Zone. So throughout all this, I was holding my head and trying to figure out what was happening, and I finally got off the couch to let the dog out. And it must have been about 2 o'clock in the morning, and I was up for a while. I finally got to sleep by holding a smoky quartz crystal. That works every time. But I talked to somebody else, and they said it was either a download or an extraction. You know, I think these things have to do with upgrading the humanity via, you know, altering the human DNA to fit into this 5D upgrade I hear so much about.
I think that also when you are ready for this, it comes to you. And I think a lot of people have said things like that to me, that they felt as though they were in a very receptive time in their life. And then things started coming into them, past memories, feelings, thinking about things that were very important in their life that somehow are reappearing now. It's almost like they're catching up with their past because they need to do that in order to go forward. And that feeling has also been part of me also. And other people have mentioned that also. So there is something going on, all right, and never more, I think, than right now. So what you're experiencing is really quite incredible and wonderful. And it seems to be also not fear-based, really. You're a strong woman. We know that, which God bless you for that. And you're facing what's going on and asking why or how is this going on. You're not shying away from trying to find the truth. I think that's wonderful.
Yeah, you know, I wonder if what I went through was some kind of life review. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I get that. I can understand what you're saying.
But I was wondering now, because when I was talking about spirit earlier and how I been having to go over other people's houses to help them out, get rid of negative energy. This is kind of subtle, but I'm wondering if what I went through with these last experiences, if they somehow gave me more positive energy, positive aura, because the people whose houses I have gone into, which felt heavy, had negativity going on, and you can just feel it, they felt it. I've had two people in the past, maybe a little more than a month's time, say minutes after I got there, they said, you know what, since you walked in here, the house feels better. They said, I don't feel the negative energy anymore.
Isn't that interesting?
Twice.
Wow.
Yeah. So,
you know,
it's kind of a
even
passion.
Even when you're nearing people, this has happened to me and many others who've told me this too, and you have a feeling of either very positive, good things, or exactly the opposite. Now, you don't mm-hmm. know these people. They might just pass you by on the street for like a brief second, but you have a feeling, some kind of information that's coming to you that these are positive people or these are not positive people and to try to stay away from them. Do you feel that intensity when you are, say, going shopping or you're somewhere and you're feeling these things when people walk by you?
Oh, most definitely. I can pick out the negative energy is real easy to pick out. When you pass by someone who is normal, that's the way it should be. So you don't really pick up on that. I pick up on negative energy pretty easily. But what I've been told as a part of a teaching lately is to put out good energy towards every person you pass, and maybe it can become contagious. Even, like, say there's a non-believer, let's say you were doing a religious, you know, get-to-know-Jesus thing, and you would go to people who believe and don't believe. And once in a while, you get a non-believer believing. Well, maybe for this upgrade, if we continue with a lot of positive thought, we might be able to change this collective consciousness on Earth, and maybe some of the negative people will start to change, kind of like the 100th monkey thing, where it just is contagious, and it passes from one to another and another. And, you know, a lot of people have lost hope at the way things are going on Earth. However, if this ascension thing has to do with a whole collective consciousness, I don't think that means just Earthlings. I think that has to do with every being in our solar system area, if not the universe. They say everything is connected, and I'll bet you my bottom dollar that there's more good out there than bad people or energies. Bad is outnumbered. I feel that.
I couldn't agree with you more on that. Absolutely right on the money. And there's many people that I speak with, even very recently in the last week, who've reflected exactly what you just said. How that's very exciting that people are coming to that stage of that realization and helping people and being positive and not giving into fear of any kind and saying that we are strong, positive beings and we need to project that and show that. This is an incredible subject, and it's probably part of the answer of how we're going to fight the evil that is going on right now and how we're going to win. So it's just an incredible subject. But now, before we go on, just so for our listeners, I wanted to say that out there, thank you, listeners, for listening to my show and this podcast. And if you have a question for either Adrian or myself, would you please let me know that, either a question or a comment. We welcome both. And email me that, and we'll try to get back to you as soon as we can. I'm going to give you my email address again, which is nicknyny1, and that's the numeral 1, not O-N-E, @gmail.com. Again, nicknyny1@gmail.com, and we'll get back to you on that. I just wanted to make sure I put that into the program this evening, Eddie.
Oh, absolutely.
Now,
that's important.
Let me see. I think we have about 10 more minutes. I'm going
to
ask my producer, Hercules, about 10 more minutes do we have?
Yes, you do, sir.
Okay.
Okay.
Oh,
all
I have
right.
something
Very good.
To add.
Sure.
To the subject we just sort of finished, but I'm not finished yet. I just remembered talking about showing love to evil, okay? About 16 years ago, I studied for 3 years with Jehovah's Witnesses because I wanted to learn the Bible. They know the Bible. And they were saying how spreading love, you know, and how healing it is and how we should always project that and be compassionate. And it changes people. It can turn people around. And I says, okay, well, if that works, then why don't we show a whole bunch of love energy to Satan and maybe that'll turn him around. And they said, well, that's not how it works. But maybe it does. Either they will change or they will be de-energized. But
that's quite an amazing thought and concept. And the Arantia book is what I study, as you know. And there is the fourth part of the Arantia book deals with the entire life and teachings of Jesus in incredible detail. And certainly Jesus is all for what you just said. It's forgiveness. Mm-hmm. It's hope. It's saying that nobody will be denied forgiveness if they want it. And to try to send positive energy and make them see where they went wrong, and that there is forgiveness in this incredible universe, Master Universe, and that is part of his teachings. So it's an extraordinary concept, and they're saying even the most evil of all, not only on this planet but in the universe, can be forgiven. And that's an extraordinary concept. I just wanted to put that in there.
That's right. Yeah, if you harbor hate, that's a waste of energy. It really can drain your energy, hate, because two negatives are never going to equal a positive, as far as I can tell. But positive against a negative, at the very worst, it can neutralize something, but it's not going to make it worse.
Absolutely true.
You know,
so it does make sense, too.
Yeah, one other little tickler I wanted to add in is people have been talking about Bigfoot. Some people have been saying that they have all been removed now from Earth because they're being hunted down by the Dark Hats. Allegedly, they were put here to help humanity. I don't know a whole lot about it, and I don't know if you've heard anything about Bigfoot, but I've had some experiences here with the Bigfoot.
Tell us, please.
Yeah. Now, this is way back. I've been here over 22 years, and I don't know what year it was, so I'm not going to be able to tell you the years. But I was out back. I don't know if I was going out to hang out laundry or something, and I smelled the worst smell ever. And it was as if you put a bag over my head and inundated every olfactory with the smell of rotten meat and garbage. And it stopped me in my tracks. It stopped me in my tracks. Yeah, and I was like, what is this? Where's it coming from? And it finally dissipated. Now, one of my friends, Kiwoni, I asked him about it because that's his territory. He said they do that to keep humans away, kind of like a skunk. And then another time I heard a tree knock way off in the distance, and I went on Google Earth and I determined where it was. There's 17 miles of vast reservoir here. It's nobody can, well, only if you're allowed, but nobody, regular residents, can walk it or get into it. It's just a huge amount of acreage. And that that tree knock was, I don't know how many miles away as a crow flies. Could have been about 3 miles away, maybe 2 miles, who knows. And then another time it was night. There's a trail that goes behind my house, and I heard this whoop, but it didn't finish. It started whoop, but it was as if you cut it with a knife. There was no echo or anything. And again, Kiwoni said, yep, they can just stop like that. And it wasn't that far. I could have thrown a baseball to where this sound was coming from. But the coolest one, and they must have gotten really curious, I have a door in my kitchen that leads out into the garage. And the garage door is open at this time. Anyway, my dog was in the kitchen, and she was barking and alerting to that kitchen door leading out to the garage. So I went, opened it up, and looked out, and now about 10 feet away from me, it was a Bigfoot just dematerializing.
Whoa.
And it dematerialized in a staticky way, almost like, what was that movie? Predator? It looked like water. You can see the outline of it, three-dimensional, like water. Except that's the way this looked, except it was staticky, and I think it had some gold in it. But it was tall. It looked like a Bigfoot, but it wasn't very barrel-chested. It looked a little thinner. But anyways, I knew that's what it was. They are
Right. And I think that talking about Bigfoots, they're obviously just not all one size and shape. There's variations, just like people. So there are, I'm sure, different versions of body types that would be considered Bigfoot, but that's quite extraordinary, that particular happening.
Yeah,
my goodness.
The only other instance I heard of Bigfoot in the area was, I believe it was back in the 70s, that vast area I talked about, I think it was opened up to hunting, deer hunting, because the deer were just overrun and they were eating up all the trees and bark and everything. And that hunter saw a Sasquatch out there back in the 70s, and he reported it. So they're out there.
They are out there. I totally understand that. Yep. And there's a lot of descriptions, and they're very much in alignment with what you just told us with your own personal experience. There's a lot of similarities here. So, yes, there are. And more to that, there's a lot of thinking about who or what they are, where they're from, and why they're here. And that could be another program. I mean, that's got a lot of information there. Hercules, how much more time do we have now? I just want to make sure we finish on time.
Have around 2.5 minutes.
2.5 minutes.
Okay.
All right. With
I
that,
can add
then,
just a little bit.
Wow. Sure.
At this reservoir, because you know how Bigfoots have been affiliated with UFOs, saucers.
Yes.
At
yes.
the same time. And there has been seen a saucer right over the reservoir, right near the water. I don't know if they were taking in water. But that's a known report. Someone from NICAP reported that on that. And, there's been other vehicles around here through the years, through the 60s, even landings in the surrounding area. I guess we're in what's called the Litchfield Triangle. So there's some oddities
I haven't heard of that.
Around here.
Hmm.
Yeah, you can Google
it,
Litchfield Triangle.
Wow. Well,
covers
well,
a look bit
at,
of ground here.
Wow, I wish we had more time, but my heartfelt thanks to you, Edie, for such an incredible hour of your personal insights and stories about what happens to you. I look so forward to again, being with you in the fall. We'll work on that illustration that I had mentioned, and that's going to be exciting. We'll start that very soon. Much love to you always, and thank you so much.
Oh, you're very welcome. I had so much fun sharing with you and everybody. And you take care and have a great evening.
So this is Nick Kirtle for Disclosure Network New York, wishing you all an enlightened journey as you connect the dots to seek truth. Till next time, keep informed, stay safe, and be very, very kind to one another. Goodbye for now. Much love to all. Good night.
Good night, Nick and Abe. Thank you very much for an excellent show, and thanks to everybody who tuned in. Whether you called in and are patiently waiting in our queue, whether you clicked on a link and found yourself here, or whether you'll be listening to us later on demand. Until next time, this is us wishing you joyous journeys and amazing adventures. Good night. Thanks again, Nick and Abe.
Pleasure. Absolute pleasure. Good night.
Okay. Good night, everybody. Bye-bye.